Well, good morning. Happy New Year. It is 2023, and we're so excited to see your faces. Why don't you stand, and we're going to sing together.
Everything around
Cause he's never let me down. Faithful through generations. So why would he fail? He won't, church. He won't. He won't. And I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. And I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Cause I build my life on Jesus. And he's never let me down. Faithful in every season. So I church, I promise you this morning that 2023 is going to be full of hardship. It's just what it is. But you have a chance this morning, what a great opportunity in the freshness of the year, to dedicate not your life, not your faith, but your consistency to the Lord. That in every season that comes this year, because there's going to be a lot and it's going to hurt sometimes, that you would still remain faithful to him. Because it isn't his nature to remain faithful to you. He has never left you. And his goodness has never been about your circumstances or your wealth or your relationship statuses or your finances or anything. Your sickness, that's not who God is. That's not whether he's good or not. He has always been and will always be good. So with me as well this morning, would you declare your faithfulness to God this season, this year? 2023, Lord, is the year that we say that in everything that comes our way, that we would be faithful, God, that the rain's going to come and the wind is going to blow, but our house is going to be built on the rock, Jesus, that is you, and you alone. That is it. That is it, Jesus, just you. So sing this with me, rain came, wind blew. When rain came. On you and
my house was built on you, and Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never, and He's never let me down. Faithful through generation. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
I'm reminded of the story in Scripture of when Jesus calls His first disciples to follow Him. And one story in particular about Peter and his brother. And they were fishermen. And Jesus looked at them and said, drop everything, follow me. And Peter says, well, can I go bury my father first? And Jesus says, no, let the dead bury the dead. And I always read that and I think, God, that's so insensitive of you. Why can't he wait till his father dies? Why can't he be with his family? Why can't he bury the dead and then go with you? And Jesus always whispers just so ever quietly to me. He says, because I am the most important thing, me. So this year, one thing that God has been teaching me, and I want to challenge you this morning, what we were just talking about is that there are going to be hard times. It's going to be hard. Jesus is going to ask you to do things that look different, painful. And what is your response going to be? Is it going to be, Lord, let me bury the dead first. Let me wait till my father dies. Let me settle my family needs. Let me just make sure that this job is secure first. Or is it going to be, okay, Lord, I'll follow you right now because I love you. And my prayer is that you would be the type of person when Jesus asks something hard of you, is that you would say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me.
All things have passed away, but your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. And things that we thought were dead are breathing. Your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how hopeless, I found their hope. You orphan now has a home, and all that was lost has found its place in you. And you lift our weary head, and you make us strong instead, and you took these rags and made them beautiful for all that you've done. We will pour out our love, this will be our anthem song. Come on, sing it out. Jesus, we
moment that Jesus is standing right in front of you. And just ever so gently and ever so quietly, you kneel before him. And you just hold out your hands to him and you say, Lord, have it all. All of it is yours. My love, God, my insecurity, my unfaithfulness, my fear. My desire to pursue you, God, and do the right things, that's all yours. And when we sing this next part together, that's the picture I want you to keep in your mind, is you just kneeling before Jesus and unloading everything that you have. You should feel light in this place. His burden is easy. His yoke is light. God, be honored this morning as we sing this. In our affection,
side. So God, would you take everything that we have this morning? God, it is yours. God, this year is yours, and we dedicate it to you right now, God. That in the darkest moments that we experience this year, God, that you would carry us when we are unable to walk, God, in the joyous moments of just pure happiness, God, that you would celebrate with us. God, in the seasons of uncertainty, of doubt, God, would you provide in your timing an answer, God? Would you draw near, God, in every season? God, we give everything we have for your glory, God, and the mission of your gospel. Would you challenge us and equip us, God? Our devotion, our love, God, it is poured out at your feet. And it's all about you. So, God, for those of us this morning that walk in, God, and just don't quite know what to do with you, God, or are struggling to want to love you or pursue you, God, would you just equip them, God? Would you just embrace them this morning? God, and for those who are hurting in deep need this morning, God, would you see them? Would you draw near to them? Would you comfort them? Would you fill the holes and the places and the spaces, God, that nothing else can? God, and for those that are just experiencing the goodness of your Spirit, God, would you just encourage them, God? Would you enforce that? We love you, Jesus. And our affection and our devotion are placed at your feet. In your precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're excited you came to worship with us this morning. Happy New Year. If you have kids this morning, now they can be released, go back to kids' church this morning if that's where you're sending your little ones this morning. But a couple things this morning as we worshiped and Brianna prayed, I'm just thinking about 2023 and how if you're a follower of Christ, hardship is a guarantee. Like Jesus is very, very clear, like hardship is going to follow you. A persecution is going to follow you. But see, I'm excited about 2023. I'm excited about what God has for me, my family, His church in 2023, because I know the one who holds the future in His hands, right? And if He is for us, who can be against us, right? And so as we move into 2023, maybe this is a new start, a fresh start for you. Man, there's a lot to be excited about, because I know if I'm abiding in Him, if you are abiding in Christ, man, there is nothing this side of eternity, there is nothing in this life that can thwart the plans that God has for you and this church and your families, all right? So be encouraged in that this morning, all right? Know that 2023 is probably going to be just as hard as 2022 was, right? But if you know the right person, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you can still get excited about it, right? Amen. So a couple things before we get started this morning. If you're a guest with us, man, I want to welcome you. And I want to invite you, if you would, fill out that Connect card that you got in your bulletin this morning. You can drop it off at the giving station this morning. We'd be honored to be able to connect with you and your family. Second, if you are a guest, you notice we don't pass around offering plates. We don't expect guests or non-members to give. That's the responsibility of the members of this church. We want you just to come and worship and experience Christ. But if you do feel compelled to give, we have a giving station there. You can give online, text to give, all that fun techie stuff, ways to give that if you really want to, you can do it very easily. But that's why we won't pass around an offering plate. But if you are new this morning, we are a church of disciples that make disciples. We gather with the intention of scattering. We gather to scatter, right? We want to gather like this. We want to gather in our small groups, our D groups, our youth group, all those things, because we want to scatter our communities with disciples of Christ, right? And so part of the mission of the church, part of the mission of the pastor in the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And if you haven't figured that out, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a saint. That means you're a part of the ministry and the mission of the church. So with that, when we see that people have different giftings and leadership abilities, we want to make sure they have a place to work those out, to grow and develop in those giftings and see what God does through that. So this morning, we're going to have Chris Barden come and bring God's word this morning. And Chris is just got a servant's heart. He's a leader. Right now, he's in part of our leadership team for Celebrate Recovery. He's done youth. He's done setup. I don't know. He just, whenever there's a need, Chris is always there to fill that need. So I'm gonna pray for him, and then we're going to see what God has put on his heart this morning. So I'm going to pray for you, Chris, and then it's all yours, man. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, God, for the willingness of Chris's heart to just serve you, to go wherever you've called him to go and to do whatever you've called him to do, God. And I pray that you would speak boldly and powerfully and passionately through him this morning, God, that we would be receptive of the word that you've given him, Father God. You would remove all distractions from our mind and our heart, all the junk we're dealing with, and we would just focus on you this morning. And I pray for those in this room that do not yet know your son Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that your Holy Spirit would speak loud and clear to them. They would know your word, your gospel as good news and truth for the very first time, and they would accept it as truth. God, and for those of us in this room that have a relationship with Jesus, that we would just be pushed by your Holy Spirit to take those next steps of faith, whatever they look like for us. And God, so we surrender this time to you, we give this time to you in worship, and just pray that your Holy Spirit does what only he can do. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. He's already introduced me, but my name is Chris. And Happy New Year. Get that out. We'll get this started, right? So Pastor Jared offered me a chance to preach. He does every now and then. I don't know why, because if you know me, I'm not a man of many words. Usually when I get a chance to preach, that's going to be probably a cumulative of the most amount of words I'm going to say all week long. So you get it this morning, okay? You get it in a good word. That's right. I am very happy and extremely honored to be here to preach, presenting what God has laid on my heart. Some of you may not know me, but I have been a follower of Jesus for about 16 years now. Most of that 16 years wasn't a tight line. I can't say wasn't a straight path follower. I had my ins and outs and my ups and downs. I had, problems with all kind of sins in my life that I was trying to deal with that on my own. I haven't always lived my life the way that was pleasing to God, but over the past 4 or 5 years, he showed me how to have a true relationship with him. And I'm striving all the time to be more like Christ. I now have a relationship with Jesus that I know no man can take away from me. I know where I'm at. I know that he is my rock and where I stand and where he stands. I do want to throw this in there. I am not worthy of being up here. I am a sinner, and if you knew my problems, you would probably agree with me, but by the grace of God, here I am. One of the things that I've found the past few times that I've got to preach is you get a little bit closer to God the deeper you dive into the Bible. I'm not the best at studying. I like reading, I like journaling, I like all this stuff, but when you start preaching and you start relying on, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to say? He starts speaking to you when you really have to listen. And I really, really have to listen when I sit down to do this and I prep this and I write this. So it's an exciting time for me. It's a kind of a scary time for me. You know, the nerves that's going on and all that. But I appreciate y'all being here. If you've never known that powerful feeling to be close to God and just knowing that you're not worthy of him or his love and grace, then you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to, we have an amazing group of people here. Without a bunch of people every Sunday morning and Wednesdays and all that, we wouldn't have a church set up. We have some amazing volunteers to make Sunday possible. So we have a setup and teardown team, music ministry, kids ministry, security, a welcome team, a youth. We have CPR leaders, and I'm sure there's more I'm missing. But without all those people faithfully and with a huge heart serving God, we wouldn't be here set up in a gym that doesn't hardly even look like a gym and just being able to praise God. So everybody who serves faithfully Sundays and Wednesdays, I just want to say thank you. Your service matters, and we appreciate that. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. Father God, I just want to give you this morning, give you these next few minutes. I pray that you put the words in my mouth that you want to come out of my mouth. I pray that you take the nerves away. I pray that you just use this moment to start the new year fresh. God, you let us celebrate your birthday on Sunday here, and you're letting us celebrate the new year, a new start. Feels like a fresh start here, celebrating you, God. So we just want to thank you for that. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy. And just open our ears where we need to hear you, God. In your name I pray, amen. All right. So surprise, surprise. It's the first day of the new year, and what am I preaching on? Anybody know? New Year's resolution. So, raise your hand, or by show of hands, who has made a New Year's resolution this year? This year? What about last year? Most of us have, probably. And what is a resolution? A resolution is the firm decision to do or not do something, or the quality of being determined or resolute. Now, even more interesting, or just as interesting, is how many of us has kept their New Year's resolutions to finality? I don't want to raise my hand either, because I ain't done it either. Those of you who did, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I applaud you. But the rest of us are human, okay? So, according to my research in Google, what are the most promised resolutions? And I say promise because a resolution is something you're promising somebody or yourself to do something. What are the most promised resolutions that people make to their own self? Here are a few. Finances is a big one, such as saving money, paying off debt, making more money. You know, who doesn't want and like that security, right? Improving health, such as eating better. The goal for a lot of us is to die young at an old age. The most common one I found was probably exercise, getting your body more fit and in a different shape than it is now, losing fat and gaining muscle. You know, we all have those thoughts and intentions, whether it was one of these or something different, right? We all have been motivated to do something that will make us look or feel good, to improve our lifestyle, our thoughts, our actions, and our living situations here on earth. But for all of our good intentions and promises made, Google also told me in one of the articles that 88% of us will fail to achieve our New Year's resolutions. So if this article is true, and that means 12% of us is going to keep their commitment. That's kind of scary when you think about it. I have a strong feeling that the number might be below 12%, just if y'all are anything like me, and I hope you're not, but let's go with 12%. 12 out of every 100 people, let's say there's 100 people in here, 12 of you are going to keep their promise to your own self and have the determination not to fail. So when I read that, I wanted to see what some of the reasons people failed were. And I do have a message here, so hang in. What hinders us from keeping our New Year's resolutions is unrealistic goals can be one. If you plan something that is way beyond the scope of your reach, you plan to fail. I was wanting to give an example, and the one I could come up with was, so if your resolution is to go underwater cave diving. That may be an unrealistic goal for you if, one, you can't swim. One, you're scared of the water. And two, you're scared of the dark or claustrophobic. That might be an unrealistic goal. Another one is they didn't keep track of their progress. So if your goal is to go cave diving, you might want to teach yourself how to swim first. If you don't teach yourself how to swim and you just jump in, you definitely don't know your progress to going in that cave. They had no idea where they were or with their goal and lost sight of it. Another one is too many resolutions. You ever had anxiety or been stressed out from a to-do list? I know I have. I give myself a bunch of stuff to do, and I decide I'm going to do it all at once. Just like here recently is a whole bunch of stuff, building a shed and redoing a laundry room and putting up a basketball goal and everything else to do with holidays. So, you know, you just kind of shut down and you don't do it sometimes. But you might have done it to yourself, and you might need to look at your resolutions and your goals. And a very relatable one to me is they forgot they even made a resolution. That's easy to do. So have you ever been on a diet, you know, in a few weeks or days or months later, you get up from the dinner table, you know, your belly's full, you're ready to take a nap, and then you're sitting back thinking, oh, yeah, I just had a Coke with dinner. I just ate a huge thing of pasta when I'm telling myself I'm on a diet. That, you know, the dessert, I just love this dessert, is that giant cookie in the skillet that's melted with the vanilla ice cream on top. Y'all, look, I'm starting my diet today, and this is just, I'm living vicariously through my own words. So, but you realize that, you know, you probably ate most of that by yourself without even realizing it. And then it hits you, you know. I haven't been eating right for like 2 weeks now. What happened to my diet? I completely forgot of it. Yep, one cookie ruins months of hard work. And one cookie like that will ruin a lot longer of hard work. So what does all this mean? It means we failed to make our promises and resolutions into our lifestyle and focus on the end goal. So let me ask you another question. How many of us has made a resolution to better ourselves with Jesus? How many of us have made a New Year's promise to our Father in heaven to get to know Him, to serve Him and others, to serve our own people in the church and our community, to reach the lost souls that Jesus was seeking after, to bring them hope and redemption, and give them the most important gift we could ever receive of salvation? I am willing to raise my hand to say I've never made that a New Year's resolution. I'm not proud of that. Usually my resolutions are more selfish nature, making more money, becoming more comfortable living life on this earth, making life more fun, life more easy, something along those days. So something along those lines. But today I want to propose a couple of New Year's resolutions for us as followers of Christ, and for those who don't know, or they even question if they do know who they serve. The Bible says you serve Jesus or you serve the devil. You serve Satan. If you know, okay, so this one's going to be for those of you who are unsure or don't know. If you know you don't have a relationship with the only one who is the hope giver and healer and the only one who can love you unconditionally, unconditional love, what is that? Find out who and what you are missing. This is the commitment I want you to make. Search out who Jesus is. Find out why the Bible and the stories of Christ being on earth can't be wiped out and why they are hated so much. Find out why the truth is being taken away from our world or being tried to. You know what? I personally have something that you don't if you don't know Jesus. And I promise you, and I don't make promises, but I promise you, you want what I have. The Bible tells us there are two things that happen when we die. One is those who are in Christ will be with Christ. When I die, I know my future is secure. I know that my Father in heaven has got me, and He's going to hold me forever. Those who don't have a relationship with Christ will be sent to a place of torment and condemned to a place without hope and mercy forever. And why is that? It's because of sin. Now, Christ came to the earth as a man who was born. He lived as a man. He was tempted as a man. He was tempted probably more than we've ever been tempted in our life. And he stood fast in his faith. He stood fast because he needed to, because we needed him to. Through that temptation, he lived a perfect life, and then he died for our sins. He died for our sins because he knows without his death that we have no hope. But we didn't have hope until the next thing happened, and that's when he died and he was put in that tomb. And 3 days later, those women came and they couldn't find him. He was risen from the dead. He came back to life. He came back to life to give us hope, to give us freedom, to give us the security of a future when this world is so just so horrible. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart or go to the dollar store. You'll find somebody who's pretty miserable in their own skin. Let me get back on track. So he died and then came back to life to be that hope and goodness that we don't have. Not everyone is going to believe that Jesus is the way and the truth to life. I do. But this resolution is a charge to find out who you serve. Listen to that still small voice that is calling you to Jesus. You know, when God was calling me to salvation, I can remember it was a Wednesday night, and a friend of mine, Jamie, he had goals to be a pastor, and he was preaching on John 3:16. I had heard that in a way that night that I've never heard it before. You know, I already had it memorized. I had already, you know, I knew what it said, you know, all that. But apparently that night I found out what it meant. You know, I can remember my stomach being in knots. My whole being was just almost afraid of letting go. My whole mind was telling me not to let go of that control that I have in my life and that I know what's best for me. It was such a fearful time, and I say time, it was maybe 15 minutes of time from when I heard it to when I accepted Christ, but it was such a fearful time for me until I obeyed the call from my Father in heaven. That fear and anxiety and hurt was taken so fast in that moment of acceptance. In that moment, I knew for the first time what true peace and joy was. I pray that one day you know that feeling, if you don't know that. I pray that you can see that because of Jesus, you are worthy of his love. You are worthy of love, of being loved. You matter. All that junk you think no one else can understand, Jesus does. Psalms 55:23, it says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. Any hurt, any hangup, any habit that you have is nothing for my God. He loves you and desires a relationship with you personally. Okay, so if you do have a relationship with Jesus, I came up with three things from the Bible that God had put on my heart for a resolution. Let's go to Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Give you up just a second. You can keep your finger there because I'm going to go all the way through verse 40 in a minute. Matthew 22, 37 through 38 says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. As believers in Jesus, are you doing this? Did you even know that this was a commandment that he gives us? To know something is to love it. And how do we love the Lord our God? By getting to know him. So the first resolution I'm recommending, and I'm not telling you you have to do any of this. This is a recommendation based off of the Bible. Is a daily and consistent prayer and Bible reading time. But why? The prayer time is how we talk to God and how he talks to us, one way he talks to us. The Bible reading time is how we learn and get to know who Jesus is. His laws and words for us who know him. And for those who don't know him, he'll speak to you too when you read the Bible. He'll show you how good he is in his words, in his law. He shows throughout the Bible what he wants and doesn't want for our life and how we can get closer to him and closer to righteousness. I strongly believe that without the prayer and Bible reading time, the time that we spend with Jesus, the next two resolutions that I present to you won't matter. You will most likely fall into that 88% of failure by the end of the year. Let's go on to Matthew 22, 39 through 40. So in this Matthew 22, 39 to 40 says, and a second is like it. Talking about commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Number two is to love your neighbor as yourself. So how many of us in here are going to wish the worst things on our own self and our own life? I know I'm not. I'm not going to wish that on me whatsoever. How many are not going to take care of our own self on purpose? Not feed ourselves, deprive ourselves of sleep when we have the chance to sleep, not put clothes on when we're cold. Well, I put cold and naked, so we'll go with that. When we're cold and naked. Deprive ourselves of the joy and the happiness that we're searching for when we're able to get that. Whether you realize it or not, you absolutely love yourself. Whether you think you do or not. You know, most people have irrational fears. I've got to get myself a bookmark. Here we go. Here we go. If you don't have an irrational fear, you probably know someone who does. Irrational fears, or we can have them because we think it will maybe harm us or terrify us. I can see my wife smiling at me right now, not throwing her under the bus. But that clown to some people is scary. Some people can't drive over a bridge that 3,000 cars in the last hour have already driven over without the anxiety of it falling. There's a fear of heights, a fear of spiders, snakes. Some people can't stand feet. You name it, and some person has a fear of it. So why do we fear these things? It can come down to simply because we love ourselves. We don't want to fall and die. We don't want that snake or spider around us, and on top of it being creepy and gross, it has the potential to kill us. We love ourselves. Who knows what will happen when you are way up in the air, and for me, this is a big one because I'm scared of heights, and you feel like you could fall. No, this is a self-preservation because we all love us. We can take care of us because we want what is best for us, and we stay away from what could harm or scare us. I used to love roller coasters, and I love the feeling of roller coasters, but for me, what terrifies me is when you're strapped in, you're like, all right, this is going to be awesome. I kind of hate myself right now for doing this to myself, but here we go, and you sit back, and you just tighten up, and you're like, all right, you're ready, and then you start like this. And that's like the longest 40 minutes of your life. And then you get right here and you can see what feels like the world. That's the most terrifying thing to me. It's just, if you love it, let me know and I'll send you with my kids next time they want to go. You know what? God calls us as his hands and feet to love other people like we love ourselves. we're not going to subject ourselves to all those things that's going to harm us or scare us or hurt us on purpose. And if we know it's coming, we're going to prepare ourselves for that eventuality of it getting here, for that anxiety, that hurt, whatever it is. But God calls us as his hands and feet to love other people like we love ourselves. That means we must first take care enough of them to get to know people. We have to find out what makes them tick and what their weaknesses are and their strengths are. We have to love them in a way so they open up and let you help them with their life problems. If you don't think you have life problems, come talk to me and I'll show you some of mine. And I can give you other people who have life problems, and maybe you'll figure yours out too. Love them in a way so they can open up and let you help them. We all have problems and issues and sin. We can't or don't know how to deal with it sometimes, but you are not alone in that. Show other people the kind of care and preservation and help them in a way that you help yourself. Show them how that you do that. Some of us may be thinking, and the old me, the part of me that I still fight, you know, is like, oh, okay, here we go. Somebody else is coming into my life and I have to get to know them. I've got to figure out their personality. I've got to deal with their problems. And I've still got to build this shed. And I've got all the wood done for my laundry room and it's still sitting in the garage on the floor. Let somebody else deal with it, right? Let somebody else get to know them. I have to make time for somebody else and something else in my life, but that isn't right. God's shown me that. You were once on someone's list on people that needed Jesus. Someone that needed someone to love them as they were and just as they were in that place that they were. Do not forget where you came from. Every one of us in here is a sinner. Do not forget where you came from. Because God has shown you, person in here with a relationship with him, he has shown you his love and mercy already through someone else. Because somebody stepped out in love and showed you Jesus. And because of that, you are required as a follower of Christ, as somebody with a relationship with Jesus, you are required by his law. If you don't know what the law of Jesus is, it's this right here. It has a funny cover because it's just printed different than yours. It's a Celebrate Recovery Bible. But the words in here are the same and they have the same meaning. You are required by this book right here, the law of Jesus, to share what you have. And all it takes is very little things. A kind word or a smile. Simply having a conversation to get to know somebody. Go get coffee with them. Go help them pour concrete, build that shed. Whatever it is, show them that you love them. I'm not asking for help. I'm just saying. I'm not asking for help. I'm going to give you a couple verses that back me up right here because I want you to know that his law says this. 1 Corinthians 16:14 simply says, let all that you've done be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. That sounds simple when you hear it. Let all that you do be done in love. So when you go to that Dollar General, when you go to Walmart, and you see that person having a hard day, give them some words of encouragement. Show them that you're having a hard day too, but that they are still loved. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Simply show them love. Show them love. And as followers of Christ, listen closely to this next one. 1 John 4:7-8. It says, "Beloved," and that's us, those who know Jesus, "let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. So what are you showing people when you love them? You're showing them God. You're showing them Jesus. Show people, show that one person, that whole neighborhood or community, that they matter and that somebody loves them. They matter not only to you, and you want to help them. You want them to help make them stronger, and you want to show them what love is. But they, more importantly, they matter to Jesus, because he made them and died specifically for them. Don't be so self-consumed with your life and so busy thinking that what you have going on is more important than that one person's future. One person. Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your little safety bubble. Step out of your fears and your anxieties of talking to people. Jesus does not call us to live comfortable as Christians. He calls us to love and obey him. He calls us to simply do what he says, and that's to love as Jesus did and as he still does. Okay, so we have spend time with God and love others. Number three is Matthew 28:18-20. And it's the Great Commission. "And Jesus said to them, all authority on heaven has been given, on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So how do you make disciples? Firstly, I want you to look at yourself. Do you know who Christ is? Because if you don't, you won't be making the right disciple. Have you been spending time praying and in his word so that you know what he wants and what he desires and what he loves and what he hates? Have you not only been learning but applying what he teaches you in your life? Have you been doing it? If so, that's step one. Step two is to start with that person or people that you took the time to love. Show them what you know and what you've learned. Show them the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of our Savior. Teach them who hope is. Show them freedom from their sins in Christ's love. Start there. Plant the seed with love so you can be cultivated, so you can cultivate their life of freedom. Talk to them. Read the Bible and share and explain it to them. Pray with and for them. That's a big one too. It's pretty simple. So I gave three things to do, but I hope you can see how they all tie together. They all merge into exactly what we are called to do as followers of Christ: to know God, to love people, and disciple, which means teach others. Along the way, you're going to get laughed at. You're going to get ignored. You're going to get ridiculed. Some people are going to argue till they're blue in the face. You may want to give up, but hang in there. Pray for them. Pray for yourself to stay strong. Do not give up on them. Love them. Do this because one day, whether it's here on this earth or after they die, they're going to know who Christ is. We don't want them to know who Christ is when they're not on this earth, because they're going to not be with us who know Jesus. They're going to be in a place of torment and a place of everlasting misery that Jesus calls hell. So I gave you these goals, and real quick, I want to give you 5 things to help you achieve these goals. So number one is pray about your decision before you ever make a promise to God, so you know it's God's will for your life. Pray. If it isn't God's will, it's most likely going to fail. Number two is set a game plan that you can follow to achieve your promise. Number three is make that goal achievable. Don't say you're going to go out and witness to every single person in East Milton, because you're not going to do that. You're going to miss somebody. Go out and say, okay, I have 5 openings. I'm going to talk to 5 people. I'm going to have 5 gospel conversations. Start there. Include others in your promise and have accountability with those people with your goals. Number 5 is stick with it. Even if 3 weeks go by and you realize, y'all have to realize I'm a foodie. I like food. So even if 3 weeks go by and you realize that you have been eating a whole row of Oreos for breakfast for the last 7 days, or you haven't been praying or reading your Bible like you need to, don't count that as a failure. Get back on the plan. Don't beat yourself up. Sometimes growing requires struggle. If you're not struggling, you're not going to grow. Learn from that struggle. So these resolutions were what God has been talking to me about. It didn't come from me. It came from the law of Christ, and that's the Bible. As followers of Christ, we're supposed to be doing every one of these things just to be obeying the word of God. And we claim to believe that as believers. So are you doing this? Are you getting to know who Jesus is? Are you loving others unconditionally like you love yourself? Like Jesus loves you? Are you discipling them and leading them to Christ? If so, praise God, that's fantastic. You are absolutely doing the bare minimum, so what's next? If you're not doing this, let's start as followers of Christ who believe in Jesus with the bare minimum. Get to know who made and loves us, show that love to others who need it desperately, and then take them on a Christ journey that will forever change their destiny. I can't make anyone in this room do anything. But if you aren't doing any of these things, or you are doing some and not others, then ask for help. Do not do it alone, because you are not alone. Myself, I know, along with Pastor Jared and many more people in this room, want to show you the love of Jesus and how to live that life with Christ and how you can disciple others when you're there. To those who don't know Jesus and don't know who he is, don't have a relationship with him, God is bigger than anything in your life. He's bigger than your anger. He's bigger than your past, your addictions, any hurt, any hang-up, any habit that you have. He is bigger than that, and he is bigger than you. In Christ, there is a freedom you won't understand until you know him personally. I really appreciate y'all listening to me today. I'm fixing to pray, and they're going to do their amazing thing that I would never be able to do with music, but I really, really urge you to respond however the Holy Spirit is talking to you. If you need to pray with somebody, we got people here that want to pray with you. If you need to just talk to somebody, come find me, come find Pastor Jared. If you just need to know what your next step is, if you just need to simply serve or simply make a commitment to walk through those doors every Sunday morning, just to figure life out, do that, and let somebody else know. So I'm going to pray, and then I pray that you let the Lord speak to you while they're singing this song. Father God, we know you've given us another day on this earth, and we know tomorrow isn't promised. We know that you give us, as believers, these rules and guidelines that can seem so tough at times, but when we do it, can be so rewarding, so freeing, because it's what you want us to do, God. You want us to know you. You want us to love others. You want us to show others who you are and teach them who you are. And for those of us like me years ago, before I knew you, God, some of us don't even know what we're missing. Some of us don't even know the freedom that is you and what the name of Jesus even feels like, because they believe it. They've accepted you. They've accepted they can't do life by themselves without you, God. I pray that person finds you today, finds you this week, finds you before their time on earth is up and it's too late. God, thank you for this opportunity this morning. Thank you for this new year, new opportunities, and we just look forward so much to all the goodness you have for us through the struggles, through the hard times, but together as your church, God. I just want to say I love you and I praise your name, God.
My anchor to
Seated. You know, I'm reminded of how great God's faithfulness is. Every Sunday we come here and people show up to set up and tear down, and people come in here and sit in here because it's not because, I'm like this good-looking person or this great speaker, or they're serving me, they're serving Jesus. So I'm reminded of how great God's faithfulness is, that this, we're 3 years in and we're still rocking and rolling and people are coming to faith in Christ. So a couple of things real quick. You know, I took a lot of notes on Chris. I think it was a great message to start the year off. But two things. One of the last things he said is his prayer was for that people would just stick around to figure life out, right? Isn't that what we're all trying to do, is figure life out? Like figure out how to raise our kids, how to be married, how to be single, how to serve the Lord, how to function at our job, how to retire, all those things. And the answers are all in this book. And the church was given to us to help us interpret what that means and how to apply it so we can figure life out, right? And without it, you're never going to figure life out unless you're spending time in God's Word and then applying it to your life. And the other thing is, you know, I don't know about you. You guys are way more holy than me, but I get a little selfish around the holidays. And I'm going to guess maybe some of you, the non-holy ones, got a little selfish around the holidays. And we forget that our mission is to love God and love people, right? We tend to focus inward. We focus on ourselves and our gifts and all those fun things, whatever. But I think this morning was a good reminder that our mission is to love God and love people. And then that great commission is a commandment to followers of Christ to go into the world and make disciples. To make a disciple means you have to share Jesus and teach them the laws of Christ, right? And to not do that is what Dallas Willard would call a sin of omission. Means you know what God tells you to do and you don't do it, that's still a sin. All right, it may not be the flashy sins we like to talk about. When you know what God has called you to do, and it's very, very clear, he's called every believer to go and make disciples, and you don't do it, it's the sin of omission. So what a great way to get the year kicked off, Chris. I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing your heart and just having the faith and the courage to come up here and share. A couple of announcements before we leave this morning. There's a lot of them in there starting the new year. We're just going to highlight a couple. You guys are adults. You can read them. They should be online as well. But February 4th, at a location to yet be determined, we're going to have our next Man Church. And what Man Church is just a time for our men to gather. We hear testimony from men in the church. And just, of course, there's food because we're Baptists. So if we gather, we're going to eat. So there's going to be food. There's going to be just a time to hear guys' hearts and just get to know one another. So I encourage you to put February 4th down on your calendar. And then next Sunday, January 8th, we're going to kick off our new series for the city. We're going to go through the book of Nehemiah for the next couple weeks. And then that night of January 8th, we're going to have our first night of prayer and worship and salt meeting all kind of put together here in the gym at 5 o'clock. We're going to kind of cast the vision for the year. We're going to have some time of worship. We're going to have time praying over that vision, how God's going to work through that. Because if we're not seeking God in prayer, none of this thing is going to happen. So we want to make sure we cover what he's called us to do in prayer and inviting him in to do what only he can do. So if you're a member, if you're a guest, it's your first time here, I encourage you to make plans to be there. So you can see what we're all about, what we're doing, where we're headed, where God's leading us, what he's doing, and some of the exciting things that God, in the ways he's moving, that we just don't have time to cover on a Sunday morning. But those are the two biggies, and there's some other things in there that are really important. They're a little bit further down the line. But read those. If you have any questions, you can see me. I'm going to pray for us, and you guys are free to go for the week, and then we'll look forward to seeing you next week. So Heavenly Father, we just, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word you put on Chris's heart. God, we thank you for the gift of another year and just pray that we would serve you faithfully this year. God, that we would spend time in your word. We would spend time getting to know you, God, and know your love so that we're able to love people better. God, that we would be obedient to not just some of your commands, but all of your commands, Father God, that we would seek to be obedient to you in all ways, that we would share the gospel, we would make disciples, we would love people as you've called us to love them, Father God, and that we would just see you do a mighty movement through this church and this city in the weeks, months, and years ahead, Father God. We thank you for your great faithfulness. God, we pray that we never lose sight of that, and that for those in here today that are just going through some junk, God, we pray that today they find comfort in you, they find encouragement in you, they know there's always joy in you, and that you're bigger than whatever problem they're facing. And so my prayer is that they would just seek you as their refuge this morning, they would seek you as their rock, they would seek you for comfort, encouragement, and joy, and know that you're always there and you always provide those things, Father God. And we just, again, we lift this up to you, we pray that this time was just a sweet aroma to you, Father God, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.